Appendix B, Signal Planning. The G6, S6, advises the commander and conducts planning and coordination for Doden operations, network transport and information services, spectrum management, and ComSec. Signal planners are subject matter experts in these areas, so they can formulate signal plans and evaluate the signal supportability of various courses of action during the military decision-making process. Military decision-making process. The military decision-making process is an iterative planning methodology to understand the situation and mission, develop a course of action, and produce an operation plan or order, ADP-50. In simple terms, the military decision-making process is a systematic method to solve a specific military problem. During the planning and orders production process, G6, S6 staff maintains the running signal staff estimate and plans the scheme of signal support to support the unit's operation. Signal staff estimate. A running estimate is the continuous assessment of the current situation used to determine if the current operation is proceeding according to the commander's intent and if planned future operations are supportable. ADP-50. Commanders and staffs use running estimates throughout the operations process. In their running estimates, the commander and each staff member continuously consider the effect of new information and update facts, assumptions, friendly force status, enemy activities and capabilities, civil considerations, conclusions and recommendations. The signal staff estimate outlines the G6, S6, and assigned or supporting signal elements' ability to support various friendly courses of action. Signal planners evaluate the communications and network requirements for each proposed course of action and against the available signal support. Evaluating the available signal support includes considering the capabilities and limitations of supporting signal systems. An accurate running estimate is invaluable throughout the military decision-making process. If signal elements cannot support a proposed course of action, the running estimate should identify the shortfall. The signal staff estimate includes all relevant signal information, including a signal mission analysis chart, which outlines signal equipment on hand, equipment in use, non-mission capable and available, capabilities of available communications systems, projected retransmission sites, combat net radio coverage, status of communications and automated information systems, projected communications node locations. The staff derives the running estimate from facts, assumptions, and situational analysis, terrain, friendly situation, enemy situation, and support requirements. Signal planners use the running estimate through each step of the military decision-making process. Planners update the running estimate when the commander and staff recognize new facts. The staff can replace assumptions with facts or find previous assumptions invalid. The mission changes. Planners receive updated information from other staff sections. The staff adjusts the running estimate based on the course of action development and wargaming. After course of action approval, the signal running estimate forms the basis for Annex H, signal, of the operation plan or order. Primary, alternate, contingency, and emergency plan. Building an effective PACE plan may be simultaneously the most useful and challenging practice for communications planners. The key to a good PACE plan is to establish redundancy, so some means of communication is always available. Signal leaders and planners must understand their organization's authorized and available communications capabilities and limitations, as well as the personnel and logistic requirements to employ and sustain the capabilities. During the military decision-making process, G6, S6 planners ensure proposed PACE plans are feasible, acceptable, suitable, distinguishable, and complete. Feasible. The unit and subordinates must have enough working systems to implement each step of the PACE plan. Acceptable. Time needed to set up a redundant capability must not interfere with the unit's operation or command post displacement. Suitable. Redundant capabilities must have the capacity to meet the commander's requirements. Distinguishable. Redundant communications means cannot rely on a denied method. For example, if network data is not available, voice over internet protocol would be a poor backup method. If VHF radio communications are degraded or denied, the next step in the PACE plan should use a different transmission medium. Complete. The scheme of signal support should outline each means of communication, along with triggers for execution. The PACE plan should be as simple as possible to support reliable communications during dynamic operations. If possible, PACE plans should revolve around warfighting functions. The principal warfighting functions for the purposes of PACE planning are movement and maneuver, intelligence, fires, and sustainment. The G6-S6 does not dictate PACE plans for these warfighting functions, but does educate the warfighting function leads on available capabilities during operations and assists the warfighting function staff in formulating a PACE plan. Planners should identify appropriate PACE systems for each phase. For example, defense, offense, or consolidating gains, and publish them in Annex H, signal of the operation order. An emergency means of communications does not necessarily have to be equipment. It may be a procedure such as moving back to the last known effective communications point, or rallying at a specified grid coordinate. The PACE plan helps ensure communications availability if the primary means of communication fails. Units should rehearse and validate the PACE plan during mission and communication rehearsals to ensure all personnel can execute the plan as necessary. Refer to ATP 60.5 for information about communication rehearsals. Receipt of mission, step 1. Commanders initiate the military decision-making process upon receipt or in anticipation of a mission. The signal staff coordinates with higher and adjacent headquarters staff counterparts to collect information on current and future signal support, running estimates, and other signal planning products. Planners collect paper and digital maps for the area of operations, signal plans and annexes from higher headquarters, list of available signal equipment and personnel assets, resource allocation, frequencies, satellite access, bandwidth, information services, tactical standard operating procedure of the unit and higher headquarters, reporting requirements, cybersecurity procedures, COMSEC procedures, applicable field and technical manuals. On receiving a mission, G6-S6 planners begin collaborating with higher, adjacent, and subordinate signal elements. Higher. Confirm higher headquarters communications assets and requirements. Higher headquarters network architecture, COMSEC, and spectrum management. Retransmission locations for possible collocation. Systems under operational management. Adjacent. Retransmission locations for possible collocation. Operational management of equipment, as directed. Possibility of sharing signal assets. Subordinate. Tasks required of subordinate elements. Resources available to augment subordinate units' capabilities. Assistance requesting outside augmentation, such as pooled theater resources. During the receipt of mission step, planners prepare the initial signal estimate. Mission analysis, step 2. Mission analysis is the method for clearly identifying a problem and the tools available to solve it. Commanders and their staffs conduct mission analysis to develop their understanding of the situation and problem, identify what the command must accomplish, when and where it must be done, and why. The signal staff gathers, analyzes, and synthesizes information on the current conditions of the operational environment, with an emphasis on signal support, spectrum management operations, and the information environment. At this point, planners identify any restraints imposed by signal systems in the intended operational environment. Planning using the Army design methodology may occur before the military decision-making process, take place concurrently with the military decision-making process, or might not be conducted at all. The commander and staff should review Army design products, if available, to enhance situational understanding and integrate them into the military decision-making process. Intelligence support to signal begins with intelligence preparation of the battlefield and continues throughout the operations process. Intelligence preparation of the battlefield is the systematic process of analyzing the mission variables of enemy, terrain, weather, and civil considerations in an area of interest to determine their effect on operations. ATP 2-01.3. The signal staff and SEMA section coordinate with the G2, S2 staff to identify enemy and adversary capabilities and help develop models, situation templates, event templates, high-value targets, named areas of interest, and other outputs from the intelligence process, including enemy and adversary cyberspace, EW, and communications information. The signal staff identifies facts and assumptions, what planners know and what they assume to be true about the operation, operational area, and enemy. Tasks: specified, implied, essential. Planning constraints: what the unit must do. Planning restraints: what the unit cannot do. Risks: some information from the higher headquarters order, if it is available, establishes the basis for developing the signal plan. The G6-S6 should extract task organization, reporting requirements, higher headquarters communications support and architecture, enemy command and control capabilities and threat, higher headquarters execution timeline, COMSEC key, period change and compromise procedures, cybersecurity requirements, scheduled network outages, signal tasks, specified, implied, essential. The G6-S6 considers these facts and assumptions: maintenance status of communications equipment and systems, technical limitations of equipment, range, weather, and bandwidth, areas of limited communications coverage, higher headquarters support, services, bandwidth, frequencies, personnel status, effects of the operational environment on communications, threat intelligence and EW capabilities, COMSEC changes, command post locations, security of isolated or moving communications nodes, communications requirements of attached units. The G6-S6 nominates commanders' critical information requirements and essential elements of friendly information related to signal support. During mission analysis, the G6-S6 conducts signal site analysis to identify the most effective operating locations and updates the running estimate. The G6-S6 begins collaboration with the G3-S3, G2-S2, and sustainment staff sections. This collaboration continues throughout the planning process. Course of action development, step 3. Course of action development is the method to determine the best employment of the tools available to solve the problem identified in mission analysis. Course of action development generates options for subsequent analysis and comparison to satisfy the commander's intent and planning guidance. The G3-S3 staff usually drives course of action development, aided by the subject matter expertise of the other staff sections. The signal staff applies the knowledge gained from the mission analysis step to help develop proposed courses of action. During course of action development, the signal staff develops a draft scheme of signal support. The scheme of signal support describes how the commander intends to use organic and augmenting signal assets to support the concept of operations, with an emphasis on the scheme of maneuver. The G6-S6 understanding of the operating characteristics and limitations of the unit's communications systems helps the G3-S3 develop feasible courses of action. Lack of reliable communications could render an otherwise promising course of action unsupportable. The staff typically develops 2 to 3 proposed courses of action for comparison. Each course of action must be complete. The proposed course of action can accomplish the mission within available time, space, and resources. Feasible. The unit has the capacity to accomplish the mission within available time, space, and resources. Acceptable. The tactical or operational advantage gained by executing the course of action justifies its resource cost, especially in casualties. Distinguishable. The proposed course of action differs identifiably from the others. Suitable. The proposed course of action can accomplish the mission and comply with the commander's guidance. Note: while each course of action must meet all 5 criteria, the communications plan does not necessarily have to be distinguishable. One communications plan may support multiple courses of action. For each proposed course of action, the signal staff identifies the pace plan for each phase of the operation. Planners establish the communications plan to support each phase. The communications plan includes long-haul communications, combat net radios and retransmission, network transport, line-of-sight analysis. Triggers for movement of command and control nodes and systems include primary and alternate routes and locations, and time and space required for movement. The staff bases signal support priorities on the commander's guidance for priority of effort. Weighting the main effort. Sufficient redundancy for key command and control nodes, the tactical command post and command group, at critical times. The G6S6 recommends command post locations based on communications requirements, equipment operating characteristics, and the tactical situation. Through course of action development, planners formulate a clear concept of signal support for each proposed course of action with an understanding of which command post is controlling the fight by phase of the operation. The concept of signal support includes necessary support tasks performed by non-signal personnel, such as quick reaction force, security, and casualty evacuation. On completion of course of action development, many outputs from the mission analysis may require updates, such as signal-related input for the commander's critical information requirements and essential elements of friendly information. The signal staff updates their portions of the draft operation order, including Annex H appendixes with signal support information. Course of Action Analysis, Step 4. Course of Action Analysis enables commanders and staffs to identify difficulties, coordination problems, and the probable consequences of each course of action considered. As the Staff War Games proposed courses of action, the G6S6 assesses Doden operations, spectrum management operations, cybersecurity, and information protection feasibility. The G6S6 defines communications systems requirements, compares them to available assets, organic and attached, identifies potential shortfalls, and recommends actions to eliminate or reduce their effects. When determining feasibility and supportability of proposed courses of action, the G6S6 evaluates potential signal sites. The signal site must be defensible, and the location must not interfere with the operation of signal equipment. For example, structures or terrain do not block line of sight between a satellite communications terminal and the orbiting satellite. As the Staff War Games proposed courses of action, the G6S6 provides signal input, including movement of command and control nodes, emplacement of network architecture, network transport, and retransmission nodes, command and control synchronization and execution matrix. The G6S6 evaluates the feasibility of the communications plan for each proposed course of action, including the communications advantages, disadvantages, and recommended solutions for communications disadvantages. Upon completion of course of action analysis, operational planning continues with updating the commander's critical information requirements and signal running estimate. The signal staff refines their scheme of signal support, ensuring that it nests with and supports the scheme of maneuver. Course of action comparison, Step 5. Course of action comparison is a process to evaluate proposed courses of action against objective evaluation criteria approved by the commander and staff. During course of action comparison, all staff sections analyze and evaluate the advantages and disadvantages of each proposed course of action from their perspective. The G6S6 section may not directly participate in this process. The G3S3 usually conducts course of action comparison based on principles of warfare, doctrinal fundamentals, or the commander's guidance and intent. The G6S6 should ensure the available signal assets are adequate to support each course of action, and there is adequate security and defense for the number of signal sites required. During course of action comparison, the G6S6 recommends a concept of signal support for each course of action and provides supporting criteria. Simplicity of the communications plan. Coverage of combat net radio networks. Number of command and control node movements required. Timeline of information services availability. After course of action comparison, output products and the base operation order enter final draft. Course of action approval, Step 6. During course of action approval, the commander selects the most advantageous course of action to accomplish the mission. The selected course of action must first be ethical, and then the most effective and efficient possible. During the course of action approval briefing, the G6S6 briefs the commander on the signal support plan for each course of action, including the advantages or disadvantages of each. The G6-S6 should be able to articulate whether and why the recommended course of action is more supportable than the alternatives. The commander issues final planning guidance, including a refined commander's intent, the commander's critical information requirements, and any additional guidance on warfighting function priorities. Orders production, dissemination, and transition. Step 7. The final step of the military decision-making process is orders production, dissemination, and transition. The staff prepares the operation order by turning the selected course of action into a clear, concise concept of operations with supporting information, as required. The signal staff finalizes all planning products, including the signal running estimate and Annex H of the operation order, with appendixes. If time allows, the staff can conduct a more thorough war game of the approved course of action. The staff internally reconciles planning outputs for approval by the commander. The G6-S6 staff prepares Annex H, signal, and its appendixes. The G6-S6 staff also collaborates with the G3-S3 to prepare Appendix 12, Cyberspace Electromagnetic Activities, to Annex C, Operations, with input from the G2-S2 staff. The phases in the scheme of signal support match the phases of the base plan or order. The scheme of signal support outlines the priorities of support for each phase of the operation. Because there is often little time between course of action approval, the operation order brief, and orders production, it is useful for the signal staff to maintain a signal annex template. Using a template speeds up order production, since most recurring information pre-populates the appropriate paragraphs. The higher headquarters plan or order can also provide a useful framework. Paragraph 5, Command and Signal of Operation Plans and Orders. The G6-S6 usually writes paragraph 5, Command and Signal of the Base Plan or Order. The G6-S6 lists task-organized units in the appropriate annexes. Refer to the print version of FM 6-02 for a sample paragraph 5 for an operation order. Annex H, Signal to Operation Plans and Orders. Commanders and staffs use Annex H, Signal, to describe how signal supports the concept of operations described in the base plan or order. The G6-S6 develops Annex H, Signal, using the five-paragraph attachment format from FM 6-0. Attachments to Annex H. Appendixes and their associated tabs provide additional information required to implement the scheme of signal support detailed in Annex H. The format and content for appendixes and tabs follow unit standard operating procedures. Refer to the print version of FM 6-02 for a list of appendices and suggested tabs. Rapid decision-making and synchronization process. Operational and mission variables continually change during mission execution. This often invalidates or weakens the chosen course of action. The rapid decision-making and synchronization process allows commanders and staffs to adjust the operation order to the current situation. When using this technique, the following considerations apply. Rapid is often more important than process. Much of the process may be mental, rather than written. Rapid decision-making should be part of the battle drills for current operations integration cells, future operations cells, or both. While the military decision-making process seeks the optimal solution, the rapid decision-making and synchronization process seeks a timely and effective solution within the commander's intent, mission, and the concept of operations. Using the rapid decision-making and synchronization process lets leaders avoid the time-consuming requirements of developing decision criteria and comparing courses of action. Under the rapid decision-making and synchronization process, leaders combine their experience and intuition to quickly reach situational understanding. Based on this, they develop and refine workable courses of action. The rapid decision-making and synchronization process is based on an existing order and the commander's priorities as expressed in the order. The most important of these control measures are the commander's intent, the concept of operations, and the commander's critical information requirements. The rapid decision-making and synchronization process includes five steps. Compare the current situation to the order. Determine that a decision, and what type, is required. Develop a course of action. Refine and validate the course of action. Implement the course of action. The first two steps may be performed in any order or concurrently. The last three are performed iteratively until commanders identify an acceptable course of action. Refer to FM60 for more information about the rapid decision-making and synchronization process. Additional planning considerations. The military decision-making process might not address the full scope of planning for signal support. Army forces plan, prepare, execute, and assess signal support in collaboration with joint, interorganizational, and multinational mission partners, as required. Whether signal support is organic to the unit or provided from pooled theater assets, commander involvement and comprehensive situational awareness of cyberspace and the electromagnetic spectrum are critical to mission success. Army units need to coordinate or interact with joint forces in the conduct of operations. Commanders and staffs must be familiar with joint planning systems and processes, including the joint planning process and adaptive planning and execution. Refer to JP50 for more information about joint planning. The G6S6 staff assists the Protection Cells Personnel Recovery Coordination section when preparing Appendix 13, Personnel Recovery, to Annex E, Protection. Refer to FM3-50 for details about the G6S6 section's responsibilities in personnel recovery planning. Note: for more details about the signal staff's role during each step of the military decision-making process, see the S6 disk resources on the Cyber Lessons and Best Practices website. Planning considerations in a degraded environment. Communications planners must understand the commander's concept of operations and intent. Because there might not be sufficient communications capacity for all requirements in a degraded environment, planners need a clear understanding of the overall communications architecture and how it can support the commander's priority effort. The G6S6 coordinates with other staff sections during the military decision-making process and considers communications requirements for each warfighting function, capabilities and limitations of available communications systems, requirements for joint, interorganizational, and multinational interoperability. Detailed line-of-sight analysis. HF analysis. Redundancy in means to communicate. Pace plan. Integration of all available signal assets. Method of deployment. Sequence assets to coincide with the arrival of forces. Command post locations. The use of retransmission, digital network links, and node placement. Satellite communications requirements. Priorities of support to manage available communications bandwidth. Spectrum requirements for emitters, sensors, radars, and any other assets that rely on a frequency. COMSEC distribution plans. Initial task organization and expected changes. Signal and COMSEC procedures. Conduct of communications rehearsals. Troop leading procedures. Troop leading procedures extend the military decision-making process to the small unit level. The military decision-making process and troop leading procedures are similar but not identical. They are both linked by the basic Army problem-solving process. Commanders with a coordinating staff use the military decision-making process as their primary planning process. Company level and smaller units lack formal staffs and use troop leading procedures to plan and prepare for operations. This places the responsibility for planning primarily on the commander or small unit leader, FM60. Troop leading procedures are an 8-step process. Step 1. Receive the mission. Step 2. Issue a warning order. Step 3. Make a tentative plan. Step 4. Initiate movement. Step 5. Conduct reconnaissance. Step 6. Complete the plan. Step 7. Issue the order. Step 8. Supervise and refine. The first three steps of troop leading procedures normally occur in order. The order of the remaining steps depends on the tactical situation. Depending on the situation, some steps may require repeating. The final step, supervise and refine, takes place throughout the process. The steps of troop leading procedures largely parallel the higher headquarters military decision-making process. A higher headquarters warning order or operation order generally triggers company and below planning using troop leading procedures. Refer to FM60 for more detailed information about troop leading procedures. Spectrum management. The Spectrum Manager uses automated spectrum management tools to assist in electromagnetic spectrum planning and to define support requirements. Planners coordinate frequency use before activating any emitter to mitigate or eliminate electromagnetic interference with friendly systems. The Spectrum Manager considers transmitter and receiver locations, antenna technical parameters and characteristics, number of frequencies desired and separation requirements, alternate frequencies for key radio networks, nature of the operation, fixed, mobile land, mobile aeronautical, and overwater or maritime, physical effects of the operational environment, ground and soil type, humidity and topology. All spectrum-dependent equipment to be employed, including emitters, sensors, and unmanned aerial sensors. Start and end dates for use. Restricted and taboo frequencies. Note: refer to ATP 6-02.70 for more information about spectrum management. Signal site analysis and selection. The operating characteristics, capabilities, and limitations of various communications systems create specific requirements for acceptable operating locations. Signal sites must be able to accomplish their assigned missions while remaining supportable and defensible. Site analysis. The G6-S6 should conduct a signal site analysis of the entire area of operations, if possible. Signal site analysis and selection is a collaborative effort between the G6-S6 and the G3-S3. A thorough site analysis enables a meaningful course of action comparison during planning and provides flexibility when executing operations. The G6-S6 analysis focuses on the ability of communications systems to provide coverage from the proposed site. The G3-S3 analysis focuses on mobility, survivability, and sustainability. If the mission changes and operations move to another area, planners should already know which areas they can support with effective communications. Signal planners consider the operating characteristics, limitations, and effective planning distance for each available communications asset. As planners define communications requirements, the number of retransmission sites needed to cover the operational area may help determine supportability of proposed courses of action during the military decision-making process. The G6-S6 coordinates with the G2-S2 for terrain analysis and the current threat estimate. Signal planners evaluate the terrain, including man-made features, in the operational area to visualize how they can support the mission. Terrain and structures can render some communications systems ineffective. Planners consider the current threat estimate to prevent placing communications sites near known or anticipated enemy positions. Link geometry. The G6-S6 analyzes the terrain to determine how to make the geometry of the operations work in favor of friendly forces. Improper link geometry makes it easier for the enemy to use direction-finding jamming capabilities. When possible, terrestrial line-of-sight communications links should parallel the forward line of own troops. This keeps the primary signal strength of U.S. transmissions in friendly terrain. Deploying units and communications systems perpendicular to the forward line of own troops aims transmissions toward the enemy and makes it easier for the enemy to jam communications. Terrain masking. When possible, command post locations should place terrain features and man-made structures between friendly communications systems and enemy positions. This may require moving senior headquarters farther forward and using more jump or tactical command posts to ensure commanders can continue to direct their units effectively. Antenna placement. Command post locations generally determine antenna locations. The proper installation and positioning of antennas around command posts is critical. G6-S6 planners and system operators should position antennas and radio frequency emitters as far as practical from the command post to spread out the electromagnetic signature. Site selection. Based on the signal site analysis, the G6-S6 recommends a signal site for each proposed course of action during the military decision-making process. The final site selected must be able to support the selected course of action, logistically supportable, defensible, defensive plan, escape routes, cover, concealment. Operating against a peer threat may require locating the signal site away from the supported command post. This way, if an enemy locates and destroys communications systems, they do not destroy the entire command post capability. Operating signal systems away from the supported command post creates additional physical security and site defense requirements. Reconnaissance. Before occupying a signal site, leaders should reconnoiter the designated area. The site reconnaissance might find unanticipated conditions that make the selected site unacceptable. This would require adjusting the operation plan or order to select a new signal site. The reconnaissance team should consist of the company leader, the transmission supervisor, if applicable, node supervisor, if applicable, and a security team. The makeup of the reconnaissance team depends on the type of unit. The reconnaissance team maintains single-channel radio communications with their parent headquarters. The reconnaissance team should ensure the selected site can support the unit's communications requirements. Ensure the site is large enough to accommodate and tactically disperse all communications assemblages on the site. Determine whether the selected site is securable and defensible. The reconnaissance team considers the size of the site, the number of personnel available to defend the site, entrances and avenues of approach, concealment from major roads or other vantage points. This may involve traveling around the entire site from a distance to visualize what the enemy would see. Verify the site is close enough to the supported unit command post to connect with the signal systems. Increasing distance between signal assemblages and subscribers complicates troubleshooting. Verify line of sight between stations for multi-channel radio links. Line of sight planning range is about 40 kilometers, or 28 miles. Ensure terrain and man-made structures will not interfere with communications equipment and links. Signal site security and defense. Site defense plans depend on the size and type of signal site and whether it is co-located with the supported unit. Planners coordinate with the G2-S2 staff for the current threat estimate and the G3-S3 staff for security force requirements when planning site defense. Co-located sites. Usually, these are larger signal elements, up to platoon size, supporting a unit command post. The signal personnel assist in perimeter defense. The supported unit headquarters conducts the overall defense of the command post. The signal element coordinates closely with the supported unit. Remote sites. Planners must coordinate for security and sustainment services when deploying signal sites remotely from the supported unit. When a signal site does not co-locate with the supported headquarters, the signal element conducts site defense. They must also be prepared to survive enemy air, artillery, and chemical, biological, radiological, and nuclear attack with little outside assistance. Because of their size and limited defensive capabilities, signal elements need assistance from the supported unit to defend against a large-scale assault. Node sites. Platoon-sized signal elements may or may not co-locate with the command post or other elements of the supported unit. Based on the threat level, the signal site commander plans site defense and coordinates with nearby units for mutual support. Small teams. Small teams often operate from isolated positions, usually for retransmission or wireless network extension. Teams should try to remain concealed and report enemy activity to higher headquarters. The teams conduct risk assessments at remote sites to determine the likelihood of mission success. Supported unit leaders must carefully track threats and move teams quickly when in danger.